Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, March 9th, 2010 here. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. Othman's in our control room, twiddling the dials and ready to answer the phone. The number, as always, 866-582-9933. The webcam is running. The chat rooms are open. All systems are going. And we're ready to just plow on in there. Now, obviously, you know, a lot of people right now are talking about ABC's Nightline last night ran a segment on a 9/11 truther convention. And we seem to be seeing this ramping up of media attention, usually negative, on the 9/11 truth movement. I'm smelling fear in the air, as it were. However, if this ABC effort was intending to defuse or derail the 9/11 truth movement, I don't think it accomplished what it was trying to do. Pretty much everybody was saying that it came off as clearly biased in its approach to the story, whereas the people being interviewed at the convention, the producers of Loose Change, came across as very straightforward, regular American. They didn't come across as looking, you know, like anybody that we should be running and hiding from. And so I think this probably has backfired on ABC. I know that at my website, which was shown briefly within the Nightline segment, my website this morning has seen a noticeable uptick of traffic, and most of it is going to the 9/11 pages. So I think it may have had the banned in Boston effect, and probably a lot of people, knowing that ABC, along with all the other TV networks, lied about Saddam's nuclear bombs, lied about global warming, lied about the economy, and so forth, they're probably saying, okay, if ABC is bashing these people, this is somebody we need to be looking at. And that's certainly what we're seeing here with our server numbers. And it was very obviously biased, because going in and they were talking about Loose Change, and they just, everything they said was, you know, already discredited, already refuted, already. And that's only in ABC's mind, of course. Because there's no question that, for example, just pulling one out of thin air, the collapse of World Trade Center 7 does look exactly like a controlled demolition. And anytime ABC was talking about the evidence that the official story is not correct, you know, it was always, oh, this has already been dealt with. Where ABC did not provide a single site. They simply assumed that if they said this is discredited, that you, the obedient ABC viewer, would say, yes, this has been discredited. I hear and I believe, and so forth and so on. And it really didn't come across looking far worse for ABC than the 9/11 truth movement. And in fact, looking at the comments section on the Nightline's own website, where they had the segment up there, the comments overwhelmingly were in support of the 9/11 truth movement and castigating ABC for not treating the story with any kind of journalistic objectivity, which we understand that's what ABC is going to do. Now, a couple of the things that we put out there, and yes, the obvious government shills are running around trying to put, you know, covers on the more obvious things that ABC refused to talk about, such as the Secret Service at Booker Elementary School. And to bring you up to date on that, we have the videotape of George W. Bush sitting at Booker Elementary School reading about pet goats. White House aide Andrew Card comes in, speaks to him briefly. According to the White House own statement and George Bush's own speeches, that was the moment he learned about the second aircraft impact on the World Trade Center, and he knew that the nation was under attack. And a lot of people said, well, why didn't you get up and go do your job? And my question is more to the point, why didn't the Secret Service grab him and get him out of there? Because you have, in theory, at that moment in time, an unknown number of aircraft flying over the country, crashing into buildings. Remember, at the same time 9/11 was going down, there was also a NORAD exercise simulating multiple hijacked aircraft. If you go back and you listen to the air traffic control tapes, you hear them clearly ask about one of the hijacked planes, is this real or part of the drill? And they say, no, this one's real. So there was no way that anybody not in on the plan could know how many planes were involved in this circumstance. So you've got these unknown number of planes over the United States crashing into buildings. You've got George Bush in this elementary school. His presence there was announced 3 days ahead of time in the media. So presumably whoever's behind these crashing airplanes knows that Bush is sitting in that building. And there's an airport only 4 miles away. That's 30 seconds from wheels up into crashing into the school for somebody who wanted to take out the President of the United States of America. And yet, Bush sits there and sits there and sits there and sits there waiting for his cue to go on and make his speech about this horrible terrorist attack. And more to the point, the Secret Service, there were 12 Secret Service protective detail agents in that room, and none of them made a move to grab Bush, throw him in that bomb-proof limo that he likes to ride around in, and start driving in any random direction to foil a possible inbound, which is what normally the Secret Service would do. And if you go back and you read the news stories, it's what the Secret Service did for many other officials in the U.S. government that are allowed Secret Service protection. But at Bush and at that school, they just all sat there waiting for the cue to go on before the cameras. In other words, from the actions of the Secret Service, it is clear they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that President Bush was not in any danger. They themselves personally were not in any danger. They weren't running out of the building, which means they knew they were not a target. And the only way the Secret Service could have known they were not a target on 9/11 was they had to know ahead of time what the targets were going to be. In the article I wrote on the subject, I equate this to the Sherlock Holmes story, Silver Blaze, where Sherlock Holmes discovers that the owner of the house is the actual criminal because the guard dog did not bark during the commission of the crime. Therefore, it had to be somebody that the dog knew, hence the owner of the house and the master of the dog. So if you consider the United States Secret Service to be the president's guard dogs, they didn't bark during the commission of the crime. They didn't react the way you would expect them to if it had been a true threat from a foreign, unknown foreign source. So that, to me, is what convinced me absolutely that this was an inside job. And, you know, the obvious paid public relations people are running around trying to say, well, maybe the Secret Service agents were all stupid. You know, maybe Bush is just a puppet. And I said, okay, well, the Secret Service, say, first of all, you know, the president does hire the best and the brightest for that service. And second, I mean, they drill constantly. If you go back and look at the video of the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan, and you see how fast those guys move and how automatic the reflexes are, and you understand these guys are really good at what they do. There's no question about it. And the bottom line is, even a puppet, even if Bush is a puppet, he's not very much good as a puppet if he's dead. So in a genuine, had it been a real terrorist attack, the Secret Service would have gotten him out of there, just like they were getting everybody else, you know, out of position, get him away from where they're supposed to be to foil a possible incoming attack. There was only a 30-second warning from that airport. Not even enough time to get him out of the building and in the car if somebody said, oh my goodness, there's a strange airplane taking off from the airport over there. Then, of course, we have World Trade Center 7, which was not struck by an airplane, was built extraordinarily strong, way past normal building codes because it was a federal building, was more fireproof, more bombproof, more rugged, more structurally, physically strong than normal high-rise buildings in New York. It had a few fires on a few floors, and yet it came down all at once looking exactly like a controlled demolition. Nobody can explain how that could happen, and of course, ABC absolutely ignored that. So did the 9/11 Commission. In the original 9/11 Commission report, Building 7 isn't even mentioned because they can't explain how it came straight down into its own footprint looking just like a controlled demolition. Now, we're seeing a lot of news stories about this. Washington Post is calling the 9/11 conspiracy theorists lunatics, and they're bashing this guy in Japan who has gone public and says that he thinks 9/11 was a hoax, a war-starting hoax. And they do happen. Hitler did the same thing in Gleiwitz, Germany. Knocked down the radio towers, attacked the radio station, dressed up, his people dressed up in Polish clothing. They even took a Polish prisoner and shot him dead to leave the body to be found. And the next day, Hitler declares war on Poland and takes the world into World War II. Same thing here. Attack on the towers in New York, blame Afghanistan, and go into what certainly looks like World War III right now. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the concerns coming out of this new media attention of 9/11, some concerns coming from Alex Jones. And call us, join us on the air, 866-582-9933, and we'll be right back.
This This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Call Mike now at 866-582-9933. 866-582-9933.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go to the phones. We've got Frank in New York. Aloha, Frank. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind tonight?
Hello, Mike. I just wanted to commend you on your analysis of 9/11, the events that happened. These are essential issues that you would think the first 9/11 committee would have jumped upon. But also the comment that I remember, the reason why Bush was missing for 11 hours during this. Remember when Air Force One flew from one secure base around the country to another was that supposedly someone had contacted the White House or Air Force One with Bush's actual nickname. It's highly classified. And that was supposed to be the justification why Bush was absent, why Air Force One was going to one, you know, secure facility to another base, which, you know, is very suspicious as well. But also, what I wanted to say is this, that the most interesting forensic evidence would be in the Swiss reinsurance investigation of the Ground Zero site, the rubble and the refuse. While, you know, many U.S. government agencies really couldn't go down there and do research, only, I think, two of the agencies could do that. And, you know, for Swiss reinsurance to pay between $6 and $9 billion on an overinflated insurance policy without doing extensive forensic analysis with their investigators that are first rate, I would really love to see what the insurance firm discovered with the such as the nanothermite and the other things that were highly suspicious. But that's a point I just wanted to sort of raise.
Well, it would be interesting, but I would almost speculate that before the insurance inspectors were even allowed down there, that there was some kind of an arrangement made where their findings would be kept classified and secret. I mean, there was a lot of after-the-fact covering up going on. The hard drives from computers from a major credit card company were in the World Trade Towers just before 9/11 hit. Something like $100 million was transferred out of those computers. Then the buildings came down, and it was simply assumed that wherever that money had gone, it had vanished without a trace because the hard drives couldn't be recovered. Then,
hang on.
Then a company in Europe said, well, we've got this new laser process where we can recover the data off of hard drives, and we'll tell you where the money went and who got it. And they started to work on the hard drives, and then all of a sudden, an anonymous buyer shows up and buys the entire company that's doing this reconstruction, and the hard drives are put on a shelf and never heard from again. So that's the kind of money and power that was behind this whole situation.
Also, there were lots of derivatives contracts that were to come due at Cantor Fitzgerald within 30 days of 9/11.
Yes.
And the original contracts were destroyed. And if we look at a $1.5 quadrillion derivative total now, it was well over $100 billion in derivatives that were lost that day with the firm. And they didn't have to actually make good on them because the original contracts were gone and they just extended the projection of the debts. So it's very interesting all that happened, as well as the CIA, the supposed CIA banker, Buzzy Kogard, who had his account with Deutsche Bank, all the firms that all of the stock and different things that were sold short prior to 9/11, and then, you know, no one claiming the account. It's well over several $1 billion from what I've heard off the record. Those are things that also indicate it could be an inside job. But that's all I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for the call here. And getting back to your very, very first comment about the official 9/11 investigation, the one that pretended World Trade Center 7 wasn't part of it, you need to understand that when Bush set up that commission, he gave them a very specific set of instructions. They were only to investigate the security lapses that allowed 9/11 to happen. They were explicitly told not to deal with 9/11 itself and how it happened, but only to look at the security lapses. This is like setting up an investigation to examine the sinking of the Titanic, but they're not allowed to talk about icebergs and missing binoculars and ignored radio warnings. They're only allowed to talk about the quality of the steel in the hull. And you're going to get a very nice report about whether or not the iron and steel in the hull was good enough or not. But, of course, it's not going to tell you anything at all about what really happened on that day. And that's exactly what happened with the 9/11 report. They were specifically held off of the real questions. We're going to go to Jimmy in Arizona. Aloha, Jimmy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. Love the show.
Thank you.
On the topic of 9/11, I was wondering, do you think it's appropriate that phony Alex Jones wears clown makeup?
Oh, come on. Enough of that. Thank you for the phone call. However, since you have brought up Alex Jones, I did want to respond to something that he has said out there, which is his concern is that future staged events or even future real events like, you know, plane crashes into the Internal Revenue Service, shootings at the Pentagon, and so forth and so on. Anything bad that happens from now on is going to be blamed on the 9/11 truthers. And we saw that last night with the beginning of the Nightline segment where they opened with the story of the Pentagon shooting and said, oh, and he refused to believe the official story of 9/11, and he's got lots of company. And it was a very blatant attempt to try and prejudice the viewing audience that anybody who doesn't believe the official story of 9/11 is some kind of a dangerous gun-toting militia kook. And, of course, the people they were actually interviewing at the convention came across as your average man and woman next door. So, given that I absolutely blanked out on the thing. All right, so anyway, here's the situation. We've got this... I remember what I was going to say. The latest polls are showing that most Americans doubt the official story. It's a majority position. It's not a fringe kook situation. It is the majority opinion of the people of the United States of America, and certainly the overwhelming majority of opinion of people around the world. Other world leaders have said they don't believe the official story of 9/11. They all think it's an inside job. It's the majority opinion. So it makes just as much sense for ABC to blame people who run red lights for being 9/11 truthers, or people who are dropping litter on the sidewalk. Oh, they only do that because they're 9/11 truthers. It's nonsensical to try and equate the two, given that the majority of people doubt the official story. Okay? Now, there is one other possible dimension to this, and this is speculative. This is very speculative. But I'm almost wondering if this kind of sort of putting 9/11 out there, and there's sort of a token effort at discrediting it, but not very effective one, at least to judge by ABC's effort, or even the Washington Post effort. I'm almost wondering if this isn't being fanned a little bit by Israel as a warning to the U.S. government that if they don't play ball on Iran, or if they dare to fire Rahm Emanuel from the White House, that Israel is perfectly willing to blow the lid off of 9/11, knowing it will be much worse for the U.S. government than for the government of Israel. So that might be a little dimension we want to keep an eye on. I don't know that's what's going on, but that could be a factor here as Israel tries to trick the U.S. into war on Iran. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to more callers on the phone. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network. You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about 9/11. We're talking about Nightline. We're talking about a resurgence of interest in the many, many reasons to doubt the official story. And, of course, we all know, with the wisdom of hindsight, we know the U.S. government lied to us about Saddam's nuclear bombs. They've lied to us about global warming. They lied to us about the economy. They've lied to us about just about everything, so why not lie to us about 9/11 if it serves their interest here? We're going to go back to the phones. We've got Peter in California. Aloha, Peter. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Michael. I just wanted to talk about 911 and this latest, like, re-vilification of the truthers.
Mm-hmm.
It looks to me like this is going hand-in-hand. I think it's an opportunity, like crisis capitalism, whatever it was, that Naomi Wolf thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have a guy who, if it's not a false flag, who goes into the Pentagon. They connect him with 911 truth movement. Say he's crazy. Of course, the media has been saying that all along and always been characterizing anybody who questions it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have that I link the McCain-Lieberman bill, where anybody who criticizes the government or disagrees is somebody who, you know, you can then rendition off to jail without charging. That's what I'm afraid of.
But, well, you know something? I don't think you should be afraid, because, frankly, I see the renewed media vilification and the introduction of this bill, which, by the way, the Supreme Court's going to shoot it down anyway. It's clearly unconstitutional. But I see those both as symptoms of the fact that it is the government that is afraid right now. They have lost the ability to feed us a line of USDA choice bovine excrement and have us simply accept it as a matter of faith. They've lost the trust of the American people. They can't get it back, and they're really scared, because there are the small secrets that you can use to win campaigns, like my opponent is having, you know, sex with the pencil sharpener. And then there are the really big secrets that are so horrific, everybody wants to keep those under wraps, like the John F. Kennedy assassination, like 9/11, like lying about Saddam's nuclear weapons, because those are the secrets that if they really come out to the point where all Americans cannot avoid facing those lies any longer, those are the lies that will bring the government down. And so I'm seeing a lot of fear on the part of the government here. They're scared because more and more people, the polls show it. Most Americans doubt the official story. They may not be 100% clear or in agreement as to exactly what did happen on 9/11, but that's not the point. The government and the corporate media have lost the ability to gull the American public any longer, and that is a very terrifying situation for a government that has gotten used to rule by deception over the last half century.
Well, you know, Michael, 9/11 is certainly a government crashing secret, as was the Kennedy deal.
Yes.
And, you know, I look back, and as late as, 2004 or 5, there was that 10-part series, The Men Who Killed Kennedy. Do you remember that?
I remember that, yes.
And at that point, LBJ's lawyer, Barr McClellan, LBJ's business partner, Billy Solestis, LBJ's mistress, all came out and said it was LBJ. And, of course, who else could run the cover-up multi-agency-wide but LBJ?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have E. Howard Hunt's deathbed confession that said it was LBJ.
Mm-hmm.
The tenth part, there were 10 parts of that series, and the 10th part said that, and they would not allow that on the air.
Okay, now hang on just a second. Okay, there is no question that LBJ orchestrated the cover-up and the framing of Lee Harvey Oswald, and the reason he did that is he was privy to the deal that John F. Kennedy had made with Khrushchev over the Cuban Missile Crisis, and the original plotters of the Kennedy assassination were trying to frame Cuba for the hit. That's why they gave Oswald that Mannlicher Carcano rifle. It's the world's worst shoulder weapon, but it was the very weapon that Cuba was importing to arm their people against the second invasion following the Bay of Pigs. They had that phony Oswald trying to get into Cuba through the Mexican embassy, and they were laying a groundwork to say, oh my goodness, Cuba whacked John Kennedy, and to build public support for a second invasion. But LBJ knew that if there was a second invasion of Cuba, Russia was going to launch the nuclear attack without any discussion on the matter. And that's the reason LBJ said, okay, it's all Lee Oswald's fault. But Johnson was not the author of the conspiracy. He may have gone along with it because he found out through one of his staffers, who was roommates with Mary Jo Kopechne, that Kennedy was going to replace him in the second term. So Johnson may have gone along with it. But there were a lot of players. You had the mafia that were pissed off about Robert Kennedy's coming after organized crime. You had the CIA, which was feeling very betrayed about the Bay of Pigs, and also the fact that Kennedy was, you know, ready to dissolve the CIA, break it into 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the wind, in his words. You had the Federal Reserve that was ticked off at Executive Order 11110. You had Israel that was absolutely livid that John F. Kennedy wanted to prevent them from acquiring nuclear weapons. There were a lot of people that wanted John F. Kennedy dead. And
I agree, Michael, but where that applies to 911 is that even as late as 2004, all that was, you know, that can still be squelched on TV and the media. The cover-up still is in effect for that. And Bob Kerry, the Medal of Honor guy, former senator from Nebraska, was quoted. I think you had it on your blog that 911 is a 30 or 40 year conspiracy. And I mean, even Bob Kerry said that, for Christ's sake.
It's kind of like everybody knows what really happened. It's just we are at that stage where, you know, if you're a polite, loyal American, you will just sort of pretend to go along with the official fiction. But we're running out of politeness. You know, we only have as much politeness as we have money in our wallets. And we understand it's a fiction and it's only one of many. And, you know, I think Americans have run out of tolerance for a government that lies to them.
I hope so. Everybody knows in this country that you can't fight City Hall. Everybody knows that
I don't agree with that one, or I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I think you can fight City Hall. We brought down Richard Nixon.
Lies. Everybody knows about lying us into war. Everybody knows bankers got all the money and it was a big ripoff. And you know, the anger is seething out there.
Yes. Yes.
It's seething. And I look upon this thing, that's why that whole thing with Lieberman and McCain and this new thing where they're actually lunatic, demonizing crazies, 911, and equating them with terrorists. And as a matter of fact, I think you said that on What Really Happened, you had that Google or somebody put one of the 911 groups on a terrorist list.
I don't think it was Google, but you're right. There was some place where 9/11 Truth Movement was put on somebody's list of known terror groups and so forth and so on. And again, I see this as a fair reaction. You know, this bill that McCain and Lieberman are trying to put forward, it'll never pass the Supreme Court challenge. And again, I think at this point we're having the banned in Boston effect, because my readership numbers went up this morning. People saw my website headline on the ABC story, and they're coming in to check out for themselves what it was all about. And I think that's a very good thing.
Yeah, but Michael, you know, this is where I kind of diverge from you on this.
Mm-hmm.
The Supreme Court didn't, you know, they never heard the Vietnam, you know, legality case. They hear what they want to hear. And they haven't done anything about, I mean, the CIA just came out and said the other day, they announced basically they're assassinating American citizens. The court's not doing anything. It takes years for that. And in that time, they can imprison or do whatever they want. I mean, I don't look upon that as...
Well, that's just something that we're going to have to deal with. I mean, you know, we're way past the point of being able to turn around to the government and say, look, we're sorry, can we go back to status quo ante? It's not going to happen. You know, we're all of us are committed on the path that we're committed on until this situation resolves itself. Personally, I think this government is on the verge of collapsing, and we better start thinking about what we want to take its place. Thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to take a break for commercials. When we come back, we'll be talking to Sam in Ohio.
This country is coming to, I sure would like to know, if they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die, doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America, welcome back to the show. Here we're going to go back to the phone, Sam in Ohio. Aloha, Sam, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike, great show.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk to you about 9/11. I wanted to ask you about your opinion. We all know that Building 7 was brought down by a controlled demolition. Even a third grader could see that. It doesn't take 3 or 4 hours to rig a building to be brought down. It takes, what, weeks, months? So clearly this was done in advance. And I was curious to know what your thoughts were on perhaps Flight 93, the plane that was shot down, as evidenced by the large debris field. If you think that this plane was headed back to New York to hit Building 7 in the coup de grace, if you will, and that the pilot who shot it down simply was not confused by all the war game that's going on that particular flight, do you think that happened?
Well, close. I'm in agreement that Flight 93 was intended for Building 7. And, in fact, if you watch the 9/11 documentary by the Nodet brothers, they have the firefighters saying there is a third plane on the way here. They were already being fed the information there was going to be a third plane impact. What I think happened on Flight 93 is that the flight crew regained control of the aircraft. And they were heading back to land, and I think the facts on board that aircraft would not have matched up with the official cover story, and that's why it was shot down. Then when Flight 93 was shot down, they still had to bring down Building 7, because otherwise they'd go in and they would discover the preparations to bring it down, which was the nanothermite in a covering of paint. And so I think basically somebody ran into the building, set a bunch of fires near the windows to make it look like the building really had a major fire in it, and then they brought it on down. That's what I think happened.
Why isn't the peer-reviewed study that came out, I think, in 2009, why isn't that front-page news? Why isn't Sybil Edmonds front-page news? Is she still alive? What is going on with... What is, thank God, what is still going on with, or what is going on with all this really heavy-duty, factual, you know, peer-reviewed science, you know, not speculation? You mentioned earlier that, you know, the vast, you didn't say the vast majority, you said the majority of Americans know that we're being lied to on 9/11. I think it's the vast majority. I have a hard time running into anybody who believes what the government is saying. I'm just curious, where is this peer-reviewed, this study should be front page. I mean, 9/11 has changed. It is the day that changed our lives forever. You know, not the way that the government would have us believe, but it certainly took away our liberties. It wreaked havoc on, you know, countries around the world. I mean, why isn't this front page, and what can we do to get it more, more in the eyes of the American?
Well, obviously, from the poll numbers, it doesn't matter if it's on the front page of the corporate media or not. In fact, I always like to joke that the primary requirement to work in the corporate media is the ability to stand there with your hair on fire and insist you cannot smell any smoke. And, you know, looking at ABC last night and the Washington Post today, their job is to sell the official mythology. They're not interested in news. There isn't even a law in the United States that says the media has to tell you the truth about anything.
Yeah, they're a corporation. They're a business.
That's right. And they're tied in with the government. We reported back in 2003 where military intelligence officers from the Pentagon were working in the CNN newsroom to make sure that the correct version of the propaganda went out over the airwaves. The corporate media is not interested in facts or truth or stories. Anybody who wanders off the reservation gets fired. I remember back 2003 when we were getting ready for the stomping on Iraq, and we were seeing all these Clear Channel sponsored pro-war rallies where people would show up because they were handing out free hot dogs and free beer, and I saw the crew from the local NBC affiliate walk right past an anti-war demonstration, considerably larger anti-war demonstration, without even slowing down to go shoot the pro-war staged rally to put on the evening news, and then when they were done, walk right past the anti-war rally again without stopping, without slowing down. And I tried to hand the talking head lady one of the little deception dollars that were vogue back then, and she said, "I can't touch that. It's my job." And just got back into the van and went back to NBC to report on the overwhelming support for the invasion of Iraq that was on the streets of Hawaii. And it was total, you know, bovine excrement. Yeah, well, you can't say that on this radio.
Well, I'll say it because you can't, but I'll tell you this.
No, you can't say it. We'll get in trouble. That's why we say manure or bovine excrement or things like that. You can't say that other word.
Did you notice that they had your whatreallyhappened.com on that ABC hit piece?
Yes, I did. My email just lit up like a Hanukkah bush when that hit. I was completely unaware that they were going to do that, and all of a sudden
somebody
I got these emails.
Yeah. Somebody messed up, because I'll tell you, that whatreallyhappened.com is what changed my mind on 9/11 and a bunch of other things, and here they are putting it on mainstream television.
Well, I couldn't pay for advertising like that, and like I said, I'm seeing in the server numbers, people are showing up to see what all the hubbub's about.
You're doing a great job, Mike. Keep it up. Thank you for taking
Thanks an awful lot. Thank you very much for the phone call. All right, boy, this first hour has just gone by so fast here. All right, so we're wrapping up on 9/11. The bottom line is there are so many reasons to doubt the official story. First and foremost, that we can't get the honest truth about anything out of this government. You know, we're not getting the honest report about unemployment. They lied to us about Saddam's nuclear bombs. They lied to us about the Gulf of Tonkin. They lied to us about the sinking of the USS Maine. They lied to us about Pearl Harbor. On and on and on and on and on again. Truth is such a valuable commodity that the federal government is economizing it. And that is really, we live in an age of lies. We, the American people, are the most lied to people on the face of the earth. And we're breaking free from this prison of lies that we have been locked in. I think one of the reasons for the huge success of the Matrix movies was that the audience at some level, overtly or consciously, understood this to be a metaphor for our present-day culture, where we look at TV sets and listen to radio and read newspapers, and we are convinced that this represents a view of the real world. And it isn't. It isn't. It is whatever the publishers want to put in the newspapers, the programmers put on the radio, or the producers put on those TV screens. And it really is just as blinding to us as the little plugs in the head in the Matrix world. And people are breaking away from that. The last caller was saying, what can we do to force the truth onto the mainstream media? We don't have to. The corporate media isn't even mainstream anymore. They have been trying as hard as they can to sell the official story of 9/11. The poll numbers show they have failed. I think the attempt to demonize 9/11 right now is not as much about protecting the federal government from its own folly, but the corporate media realizing that having hitched their credibility to that of the federal government, their own credibility has been dragged down into the Al-Qaeda, and their viewership and readership and advertising revenue numbers show it. ABC just got done having to close every one of their bureaus except the one in Washington, D.C., because, as last night showed, their job is to read the government's talking points to America and pretend that it's news. But they're losing money hand over fist. Their advertisers are deserting them. And, you know, they're doing all these bundling deals where if you advertise on ABC, you get free ads on their websites to try and fill that out. Otherwise, they wouldn't have any ad revenues on their websites either, because it isn't the whiz-bang internet browsers that are pulling people away from the corporate media and to the alternative media. It's because people always want to know that they are getting the truth and they're getting the facts. And they have learned through painful experience over the last 10 years, they're not going to get the facts and the truth from the corporate media or the U.S. federal government. They have to go out and find it for themselves. The American people are going through this shift of consciousness, a paradigm shift, if you will, the same one that the USSR did in the years leading up to the collapse of the Soviet Union, which is why I am convinced that we are looking at an imminent collapse of the federal government. And we'd better decide what we want in its place. Because as soon as the dust settles from the collapse of the current government, there are going to be dozens of carpetbaggers standing on the rubble and saying, I've got a brand new government here all ready to go. Just plug it in and sign your name here, and we'll be up and running with a minimum of fuss and inconvenience. And I guarantee you that any ready-made government being sold to us after the federal government of the United States collapses is not going to be for your benefit. It'll be for the benefit of the bankers. It'll be for the benefit of Wall Street. It'll be the benefit of the military-industrial complex. We're going to take a break for news and commercials. We'll be back in about 7 minutes talking about the economy and some more illustrations of how the federal government is basically blowing smoke into your various bodily orifices. We'll be back. Stay tuned. Aloha. We'll be right back.
Michael Rivero, What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show, to hour number two here. We've been talking about 9/11, and we've got a caller waiting on the line here. Before I get to him, though, somebody just sent me a link to 2010 Vancouver Olympics, the movie, and it is a video that has been put together by the We Are Change Vancouver group. Very well done video, and what it highlights is during the Olympics broadcasts, they were standing behind the telecasters with signs saying 9/11 was an inside job. So the word is getting out there. These little sort of grassroots actions where people are just standing up where they can be seen on camera and they're putting up the signs. And you know, the police are like, sir, come on, you know, go away. And they're not even, they don't even care anymore. Even the cops know that 9/11, the official story, is a load. And it's rather good little video. And I'm not just saying that because I mentioned in the credits at the very end, which I just now discovered. But it shows what this kind of citizen action can do. You get out there, you put a bumper sticker on your car, you put a sign on a wall, you just say 9/11 was an inside job. And right now, the majority of Americans are ready to listen to you when you talk about what's going on. We're going to go to the phones. Mike in Georgia. Aloha, Mike. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I just want to make a couple of comments about 9/11. I have a BS degree in industrial tech with an option in construction, and I really don't need anybody now that I've had time to think about this. You know, anytime you rely on information, then you got to check the validity of your source, but it's assuming that the videos of those buildings collapsing from that plane, after that plane hit it, and my knowledge of construction, they might as well tell me that they sprinkled fairy dust on them buildings, and that's what made them collapse. I don't need, you know, it's impossible now to tell me that those buildings, that's what occurred. They're, you know, the report is a joke. And the second thing is, I was also in the military, and I understand about strategic response and the failure to make a defensive response by NORAD, and then thereafter the failure to command responsibility and accountability for what occurred. That's the thing that proves to me that it didn't happen like they said, and they're not trying to find out what happened.
No, they never ask a question you don't want the answer to. I mean, if you go back and you look at what was happening that day, all of the aircraft that should have been in a position to intercept those passenger jets were all in other locations because of this NORAD drill. The air cover for New York and Washington, D.C. was ordered away from those areas to take part in this NORAD drill. I think it was 4 months before 9/11.
Somebody's accountable for that. Somebody's responsible for that.
Not under the current government. During the Revolutionary Tribunal, we'll slap them around a little bit. But 4 months before 9/11, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld changed the ordering for intercept missions and said that specifically any authorization for an air intercept mission over the United States had to be authorized by the Secretary of Defense himself, who was strangely not available on 9/11. And then a couple of months afterwards, they changed it back to the rules that had been in place before. Remember when Payne Stewart's airplane went walkabout over the country, how quickly they got fighters on the tail of that to find out what was going on? That was because the local commanders had the authority to say, go up there and see what's going on. But on 9/11, the orders were, you've got to call the Secretary of Defense to get permission to launch an intercept mission, and the Secretary of Defense was not answering his phone. I mean, it doesn't get more obvious than that. But for me, I mean, we've got photos of the load-bearing members in the World Trade Center showing the clear diagonal marks of a cutter charge used in demolition work. We have the video of World Trade Center 7 coming straight down. We've got that strange situation in, with the Secret Service at Booker Elementary School, where they're all just sitting there serene and obviously secure in the knowledge that they are not going to be targets that day.
My experience in construction tells me it costs big money to get a building to fall like that.
Yes, it does. By the way, did you notice that Controlled Demolition got the contract to clean up the remains of the World Trade Center? And, you know, the bottom, I mean, there was a video on YouTube. I wish I'd grabbed it and kept a local copy. But they'd gone around talking to people who were working in the World Trade Center who said that for like 3 weeks before the buildings, before 9/11, that there was all this work going on, these floors that were closed off. You couldn't open the elevator door on these floors. It took a special card key. The whoever was doing the work were coming in by their own separate exit, their entrance and everything. They had elevators set aside for their use, and they were just and the pounding that was going on was so intense. Dust was coming down from the ceiling onto their desks and everything, and yet nobody knew what was being done. And I should have kept a local copy of the video, because obviously that's when all this demolition work was being prepared.
The entire government is responsible or accountable for this, and they should either stand down.
Only if we make them. Well, only if we hold them to account.
That's true, but they shouldn't be viewed as anything, as criminals. And that's where we're at now, is we're looking at a criminal government, and I have no idea how to bring them down, because they're
I think they're going to do it all by their lonesome. And after it has come crashing down, I want to grab some of these people that seem to be key to the whole 9/11 plot. And since the government has established this precedent, let's waterboard them and find out what they know. Because I think after two of these war-starting hoaxes, okay, Hitler with Gleiwitz, Bush with the World Trade Center, I think it's time that we set an example as a deterrent to protect future generations from governments that think knocking down a building is going to get their people into going into a world war.
I think there's a general humanitarian agreement that murder and robbery is already a crime. It's just trying to hold them accountable.
Well, I think this government is on the verge of collapse, and when it comes down during that aftermath there, I think, you know, we're probably going to see the ringleaders all try and skedaddle to places without extradition. But, you know, I want to grab them and hold them to account. And I think it's right that we do so.
I'm going to let you go, but I thank you for letting me speak.
All right, you got it. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Paul in Florida. Aloha, Paul. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind tonight?
Aloha, Mike. You mentioned 93. I'm pretty well convinced that the planes that were used were remote control planes, because the NTSB never got to investigate 9/11 crashes, and all they had to do was match up the serial numbers to the planes that were supposedly used. And just want to hear your thoughts about that.
Okay, well, I think the planes that were used were the real ones, but you need to understand that Dov Zakheim, who was comptroller of the Pentagon,
during
the time that $3 trillion of your tax dollars simply vanished without a trace, his job before Bush named him to the Pentagon, he ran a company that manufactured remote control equipment for passenger planes. The overt purpose of these systems was to regain control of hijacked aircraft and bring them into land at an airport with the hijackers in the cockpit screaming and yelling and pounding on buttons that wouldn't do anything. So we know the technology is definitely there to remote control the planes. And again, I am convinced that the reason Flight 93 was shot down is because they regained control of their aircraft, whether from the phony hijackers or whether from remote control is irrelevant. But the bottom line is, what the facts that were on that airplane were not going to match up with the official cover story. And so the plane had to be destroyed. If it couldn't be crashed into World Trade Center 7, then it had to be destroyed on the ground, because there could be no survivors saying, wait a minute, that wasn't what happened on Flight 93.
Yes, sir. How about the NTSB and lack of investigation matching up the serial numbers with Flight 11 and 175?
Well, the NTSB, I think, has been co-opted ever since the TWA 800 cover-up. And we documented there that they had gone into court in the case against Jim Sanders and his wife. We caught them. We documented. They were lying to the court. They were rigging lab tests and lying about the results in an official government document. So whatever the NTSB is saying, there's no reason to believe it. Anyway,
I'm going by what ex-NTSB Nelson said. Okay,
can you email that to me? We got to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
A
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. I think we've talked about 9/11 enough. I want to get onto the economy, because obviously that's a very important situation. And again, this is a continuation of the comment I made in the first hour of the show. The reason everybody doubts the official story of 9/11, and pretty much anything else the government is saying, is because the government continues to lie about everything. And they're lying about the economy. We have, for the last year, been hearing about green shoots and lights at the end of the tunnel and the worst is over and rebound this. And constantly we are being told that the unemployment figures are hovering at about 9%, which is sort of kind of maybe okay. And yet we hear from payroll companies that the 9.7 figure has to be completely bogus because they're showing more than twice as much unemployment. And then we find out the government is fudging the figures and subjecting them to statistical manipulation, which is a fancy name for we're going to fudge them to make something that looks really good. They used to do this kind of crud in the old Soviet Union. They would come up with a number that was politically acceptable, and that became the revealed truth that everybody was supposed to go along with. And as we pointed out yesterday, we have all these state governments that are coming up short on their revenue projections because they have been relying on the federal government figures for employment and labor to do their own forecasting for their own local budgets. And they're coming up consistently short by a wide, wide margin. So let's get to some details about why the economy is not rebounding or doing better, as the government would like you to believe. And remember, 2 weeks ago, we documented where the federal government's official strategy right now is to conceal the worst of the bad economic news and just sort of try and encourage you into going out and spending money, because that will get the economy going again. Of course, the flaw in that theory is we don't have any money out here. The bankers set up a system to grab all the money to themselves, and nobody planned for what was going to happen when they succeeded. So, looking at the news here today, Chevron is cutting 2,000 jobs. This is an oil company. Supposedly, you know, at least you hear the global warming cultists, they've got money all over the place, and they've got money. They're spending trillions of dollars trying to defeat Al Gore and his Nobel whatever. But Chevron is losing 2,000 jobs. Ford Finance arm, the people who will loan you money to buy a new car, is cutting 200 jobs, which tells us that the automotive bailout, even with all the Toyota bashing, is not working. People are not borrowing money to buy new cars, and so Ford Finance is having to let 200 people go. Los Angeles County is so desperate for money, they've already fired a whole bunch, 5,000 teachers. 5,000 staffers, including teachers from the L.A. Unified School District, are already gone. They're so strapped for money, they're having to let people go from the court system. So those of you who've committed a borderline crime, you may be getting a get-out-of-jail-free card. They don't have the people to process you through. They're laying off 329 staff members in the L.A. County court system. And they're looking at another 1,000 if the economy does not start to improve. And it's not going to improve. And the reason is very simple. With these states and counties laying off all these are people who are out of work. They're going to be a burden on the unemployment insurance system. They're not going to be paying taxes. They're not going to be buying stuff. This process is accelerating. Now, let's see. Springfield walloped by lower March sales tax revenue, the city's latest sales tax revenue, down 17.9% from this time a year ago. You know, people don't have money to buy stuff. They're not buying anything. States and counties and everything can raise the taxes all they want and create all the new taxes they want. If there's nothing to tax, there's nothing to tax. And a system where by design the money flows to the top and stays there is not an economy. It is pillage. It is looting the people. For an economic system to be a system, the money must be flowing at all levels of our society. It isn't anymore. The money is being vacuumed up to the top bankers so they can roll around on a big pile of it on the floor and have orgasms. and there is not enough currency left in circulation in the rest of the country for the country to even begin to function. Now, Ohio is in serious trouble. Top Bell aide says Toledo likely to face fiscal emergency. They're looking at letting go 300 of their city workers here. In Annapolis, Maryland, the mayor had to surround himself with police security before he announced layoffs. We had the same thing here in Hawaii. Governor Linda Lingle now has bodyguards and armored vans and stuff to ride around in because she's cutting people from the state government. There just isn't any money. Shawnee, Kansas Mission Schools cutting $10 million and 128 jobs. Counties face more cutting as state income tax payments fall. There is no money circulating out here. And if there's no money circulating out in the society, there is no tax revenue being generated. The states are so short of money, they're not even able to send out the state income tax refunds on time. Here in Hawaii, they're saying it's going to be at least June before the state income tax payments go out. They'll probably arrive with a little handwritten notation, please don't cash until October. Healthcare has opened a $1.7 billion hole in Texas budget. Vermont's revenue picture worsens. It is impossible to reconcile the continuing rapid decline in tax revenues at the state level with the federal government claim that unemployment is holding steady at 9.7%. Somebody is lying here, and I don't think it's the states. We're going to go to the phone. Scott in Wisconsin. Aloha, Scott. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, thank you for the truth there, brother. You're right on. You know, when you're talking about the schools, that is going on all across America right now.
Yes, it is.
And you know what, brother? The bottom line is this. I got an opportunity for some job workers. What they ought to do is take those toilet paper manufacturers, mm-hmm. take them out to where they print the money, and get a contract for them to print the money on the toilet paper. That's the value of the money right now, my friend, and you're right.
No, I understand that. I've seen toilet paper with the money pattern printed on it as kind of a joke, but we're really getting to that point here.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. My message was there is that's the value of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're better off. It's almost like wiping it on your butt because it's not worth anything. But I just wanted to call in and tell you, keep up the truth there, brother, because hopefully America is waking up, because the two things that we've been dealing with is lying and deceiving to
yes.
our media and to our government. You take
absolutely.
Care and thank you.
Thank you very much for the phone call. Yeah, absolutely. The dollar, the stock market are being propped up through games and trickery and Goldman Sachs machinations. We're going to be talking about that before the end of the show today. And it really is ugly. The Atlanta school budget. They're waiting to see what February revenues are going to total up to, and it's already being said, look, it's, they're in trouble. Their schools are in trouble. We're down to four-day school weeks here in Hawaii. In Utah, they've gone to a three-year high school program. We are cutting our own throats as a nation because we are abandoning our children. Remember Bush said, no child left behind? All that meant was no child left behind by the military recruiters. For any other purposes, forget it. We don't need to teach them anything. As long as they can point the dangerous end of the gun at the enemies we tell them to point it at, that's all they need to know. We're destroying our children's futures here. All right, we'll be right back.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the economic mess. The statistics are really ugly. 43% of Americans have less than $10,000 saved for retirement. $10,000 in this economy is nothing. It's nothing. In 4 to 6 months, you go through that kind of money here. And the reason is very simple. As the economy has tightened, people have had to dip into their savings. A lot of people have had to cash out of their 401ks if they have anything left in them. And they have to eat that huge tax penalty. And they're using up the last of their money to just survive and get through this very difficult economic time. And as I said earlier in the show, the bankers have set up a system designed to just suck all the money out of the country and put it in their own pocket. And nobody's thinking about the consequences of what happens to the country when they actually succeed, when there is not enough cash left in circulation in our society to carry on commerce. Now, last week we were reporting on this story where the FDIC, which has run out of money to deal with all these failing banks, is now encouraging public pension funds. These are government, you know, civil, state, county government pension funds, to invest in buying some of these failed banks. In other words, they're going after what's left of the American people's retirement money to prop up the banks a little bit more. Now, as I said during my comments about the voters' rebellion in Iceland, we, the taxpayers, are willing to pay taxes for the things that take care of this country. Good roads, good schools, good hospitals, infrastructure, civil infrastructure, rail system that's reliable, bridges that are inspected, dead brush cleared away so we don't lose entire neighborhoods to out-of-control wildfires. That kind of thing. Bailing out a private corporation from its own stupidity does not fall in that category. It is, in my opinion, an odious debt on the same level with wars of aggression and the borrowing of money by dictators in order to pay for TV cameras on every street corner, machines to read email and listen to phone calls. Now, 33 states this year have raised their taxes, $32 billion, at least in what they're expecting to take from their population. They're not getting it. That's the problem. Because they can raise the taxes all they want. They can create new taxes. We were talking the other day, they're talking about taxing the donuts and the free breakfast in the hotels. You know, oh, that's taxable income. That's income to you as your travel. Just utter nonsense stuff here. And they're saying the taxes are going up, but nobody's got the money to pay. What are they going to do, make 100 million Americans homeless? I don't think that's going to go over very well. Meanwhile, we get a headline today, and I'm not kidding you. It's linked to the front of whatreallyhappened.com today. This is the headline. Ailing banks may require more aid to keep solvent. In other words, they're talking about the 50 biggest banks, not the little mom-and-pop banks that are collapsing left and right on the streets of America. And FDIC picks those up. But the 50 big main money center banks, they're saying, oh, golly gee whiz, they're still struggling. They're suffering so much, and we're going to have to give them more taxpayer money to keep them solvent. Now, my response to that is, dear Wall Street, what part of no do you not get? It is not the right, it is not the duty, it's not the obligation of the American taxpayer to bail out private companies. These banks, Wall Street, created this mess. They wanted to go on a gambling binge with these mortgage-backed securities and credit default swaps. The trillions of dollars in losses they ran up are gambling debts. The money never really existed in the first place. It's like when you go into a casino and you plunk down a bet of $5 and the odds are 20-1 against you and you lose. Somewhere out there, there is, you know, these numbers just run up into incredible high numbers. And the money that is owed on the loss of the gambling debt or on these credit default swaps never existed to begin with. And that's why we're coming up cash short. The bankers are grabbing the money out of the society to pay off their gambling debts. It's no different than a man who blows his rent going to a floating crap game And he goes home and he tells his family they're going to have to skip a couple of meals so that they can make up the shortfall. That's exactly what's happening in this country right now. The gambling addicts in Wall Street are telling you that you have to go without your high-paying jobs, you have to go without good food, good medical care, have to go without a new car, may even have to go without your home, because they need the money more than you do in order to pay off their gambling debts, and that's exactly what they are. It is not the government's place to loot the American people, to rescue private businesses from their own stupidity. It is not only poor business and poor fiscal policy, it is bad evolution. If Wall Street created this mess, Wall Street should simply collapse and make way for a new generation of business minds with better common sense. As long as the government goes on bailing out people like Goldman Sachs will go on making the same high-risk gambling bets that they have because they've got nothing to lose. It's like being in a casino in Las Vegas. And the casino is, whenever you win, you get to put the money in your pocket. But if you lose, they force the staffers, the barmaids, the bellhop, all of these people. They say, pony up, pass the plate, cover the losses. That's what's going on in this country. Who wouldn't want to play in a casino like that? Get to keep the winnings, put the losses off on the staff who works there? What a wonderful casino. Be amazing, amazing amount of business there. And so now we're hearing again, after all the money that has gone in all these banks, all the money the Federal Reserve has put out there on our tab, they won't even tell us how much or who got it, because of this very obscure law that says the Federal Reserve is above review by the civil government. We don't know how much money has been spent that we're expected to repay down the road. And now we're hearing the ailing banks may require more aid to keep solvent. The reason they're ailing is very simple. They took all this bailout money, and instead of putting it back into circulation, they put it into their own pocket with these bonuses. And they don't have any money to loan back out. And they don't want to renegotiate your mortgage because they're going to make more money foreclosing your home. Because the federal government set up the laws and the TARP bailout system to where it is financially advantageous to take Americans out of their home. And you get stuck with a permanent loan for the unpaid balance on your mortgage, plus you now got to go out and rent someplace. And the bank turns around and charges the government for the loss in value from whatever the bank decided the actual appraised value ought to be. And so they're kind of double dipping there. And they make more money taking your home away than keeping you in it. And this is another case where the federal government lied, because Barack Obama got up there and said, we're going to set it up so that the financial companies, the mortgages, the bankers are going to work with you to keep you in your home. And they did exactly the opposite. They did exactly the opposite. Now, we are starting to hear from some of the retired financial crooks that it may be time to sort of head for the hills. We've got former IMF chief economist Simon Johnson is saying we're heading into a new depression. Unless they break Wall Street's stranglehold on the government, we're going to be in a new depression. He's absolutely right. I think we're already there. Morgan Stanley research guru and now hedge fund manager Barton Biggs is eventually saying the same thing I've been saying for months now. Canned foods and shotguns. Get out of the cities. Get away from the crowds. Canned foods and shotguns. It's going to be ugly when it all comes apart. We'll be back for the last segment of today's show after these commercials.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here today. Boy, we just blew through a lot of stuff here. I've got stories to take over in tomorrow. If you go to whatreallyhappened.com, I just bumped it up to the top there. There is a video called Goldman Sucks. And it is a very good video illustration of just how it is that Goldman Sachs has become so incredibly wealthy on the backs of the American people. And unlike that other brokerage, they're not making their money the good old-fashioned way by earning it. Basically, Goldman Sachs is a bunch of crooks. They have their alumni in all of these key positions in government that allow them all kinds of special privileges, such as high-speed computer trading, which is banned for pretty much everybody else in the United States because it almost wrecked the stock market back in the 1980s. But Goldman Sachs is allowed to play these games, and they're allowed to bend the rules, and they're allowed to get around these situations. And what they do is a pattern of constantly building a bubble, then betting against it and letting it collapse. The most recent one, of course, was the mortgage-backed securities. Now they're getting ready to do another one. They want to be on the ground floor of the carbon bubble. Now, you've probably been hearing from Al Gore's acolytes that those dastardly oil companies are sending huge checks to everybody who doubts the orthodoxy of human-caused global warming. And by the way, Exxon and Unocal and the rest, I still haven't gotten a check. I'm waiting. I need the money, but I haven't gotten a check yet. So, but the reality is that the big money is behind Al Gore because they understand that this carbon cap and credit system and the brokerage to buy and sell the carbon credits is going to be a huge moneymaker. It already is in Europe where they got stuck with this. And it's not improving the environment at all. It's just a product that was created literally out of thin air. Carbon dioxide. What they're buying and selling is nothing more than a pretty printed piece of paper. It is no more substantive, no more valuable than the printed pretty piece of paper called the Federal Reserve Note. But they're printing them up, and they're going to buy and sell them, and they're going to do to the entire planet with carbon dioxide what California, what Enron did to California with electricity. And that wasn't very pretty at all. That's what's going on over there. Okay? So the big money, including Goldman Sachs, is behind pushing human-caused global warming and selling a carbon tax, which, by the way, we're beginning to hear already. Remember yesterday I reported how the IMF was saying, well, we're already going to start handing out money to combat human-caused global warming, and you'll just pay it all back when the carbon taxes come into effect, which is a way of getting it going without having to address the fact that the scientific basis for human-caused global warming has collapsed. Actually, it's suffering frostbite right now. And now we're hearing that Obama is considering a carbon tax by executive order, which will be paid because it will be added to your utility bills in order to spread it out. So your electric bill will now have a little additional carbon tax in there. Your phone bill will have a little additional carbon tax in there. Every utility bill, there's going to be a new added little line item for government carbon tax. And all the money is going to do is flow into Goldman Sachs and to Al Gore and get played around with these brokerage fees. And it's not going to fix the economy. It's just another way for Goldman Sachs to take money away from the American people. And they get away with it because their alumni are in these government positions, and they're very generous in their campaign donations to congressmen and presidents. You know, we talk a lot about the corrupting influence of the Israeli lobby on American politics, but the Israeli lobby are pikers compared to the Federal Reserve and Goldman Sachs and all of these other groups who have got all the money in their pockets. And they're not shy about handing a million out here and a million out there as long as it will allow them to make $10 million down the road. And from their point of view, this makes good fiscal sense. But the problem is, as we keep pointing out, we have reached the point where they have succeeded in their goal of extracting all the money from the American people. And the nation is grinding to a halt. We're hearing again just during the break, I got three more emails from people in three different states saying their state budget is shutting down. And now it's getting really ugly because, as you are probably aware, most states maintain a revenue sharing program with their municipalities. In other words, a municipality will get a share of the state income tax revenues based on how many people live there. It makes sense. The municipalities need operating funds. And now the state governments are starting to tell municipalities, we're sorry, we don't have it. you're just going to have to shut down. And we're hearing already where trash cans are taken out of parks. Parks aren't even being maintained anymore. They're being allowed to overgrow. They're not even paving roads in some rural parts of the country anymore. They're letting them go back to gravel roads. Our nation is collapsing in front of our eyes. But Goldman Sachs gets bonuses for all their executives. And, of course, the war machine runs on unrestrained. And we're sending another $30 billion to Israel. I don't know how much worse it's going to get before the American people start really losing it. And we've already seen that the plane at the IRS and the shooting at the Pentagon and the guy bulldozing his own home and his business. And we had another one earlier today that I wasn't really paying that much attention to. It's going to start becoming part of the general fabric of society. People who are losing it, they're losing their homes. And rather than just sit on the street and cry over being homeless, they're going to take out their revenge on the people that they justifiably see as the villains here. The greedy bastards of our society. And by the way, little side note, they're trying to figure out a way to take the guns away from you, but the Goldman Sachs people, they get concealed gun permits. They're all buying guns because they know how bad things are going to get out there. But they're addicted. That's really the problem. These are people who have got more money than they could ever reasonably spend in their entire lifetime, and it's not enough. They will throw entire cities underneath the bulldozer if it means adding another zero to their portfolio so they can show it off to their friends at the country club. Look, I made $3 million by, you know, buying this company, firing everybody, and selling off the assets. They think, you know, it's sociopathic behavior. If we ever want a world of perpetual peace, we have got to identify sociopaths at birth and lock them up as being the mentally ill, societally destructive individuals that they are. The curse on all of us, on the world, is that political power is always going to attract the very people who should not be allowed to have it. And we're seeing that in this country. We get one sociopath after the other who are perfectly comfortable lying to the American people, as Barack Obama did during his campaign. And then once elected, loot the public, give it to their cronies on Wall Street. And we're watching the whole nation dissolve in front of us. Meanwhile, over here on CNN, what are the top stories? Well, they nailed Letterman's producer for a blackmail plot, and he got 6 months in jail. And Michelle Obama's dress is on display at the Smithsonian. This is what CNN thinks you want to hear about. And it isn't. You want to hear about, is anybody in the government or Wall Street even thinking about a way to turn this mess around? I don't see it. I've been saying for 6 months, I'm not seeing anything that this government or the financial institutions of this country doing that is in line with trying to recover the economy. What I am seeing is a looting of the American people. Put it in their pocket and just, you know, wait for it to all fall apart and head for the door. We have a coffee cup that we sell around here. It says the last official act of any government is to loot the nation. I think that is what we are seeing before us right now. Because, you know, government may be greedy. Government may be sociopathic. They may be lying to us. But they're not stupid people, for the most part. They understand that if there isn't currency circulating in the general population, that the whole system is coming to a crashing halt. And yet, nobody does anything about it. Obama could. He has the authority under the Constitution to call the Treasury Department the way that John F. Kennedy did, the way that Abraham Lincoln did, and say, start printing up money that's outside the Federal Reserve System and put it into circulation, because otherwise our country is doomed. And he won't do it because he's owned. There's a slur I could throw on it, but I'm not going to. Right, that's it for our show tonight. We're going to be back tomorrow, Wednesday, hump day, at 5 p.m. Central here on the Genesis Communication Network. Until then, stay safe, stay angry. In fact, get angrier. Get really ticked off. It's time. It's time to be angry. It's time to start losing it. It's time to put, you know, pictures on the dartboard and start flinging out there. Don't forget the national strike coming up on the 15th of April. And tune in tomorrow. Aloha.